Back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, and it's 9:46. If you've got any questions, well, you can probably squeeze some phone calls here in this next segment, 785-537-1350. You've got a question about anything city-related here, we will gladly take those. City Commission does have a meeting tonight at 7 p.m. You guys had, a week off last week. The work session got canceled. Was there any particular reason? I never heard on that.
No, we weren't. We originally had some Aggieville discussion planned for that. It wasn't ready yet, so that got rescheduled. I think we're picking that up. I want to say it's the first meeting in February, maybe, at a commission meeting. So just some planning aspects that weren't quite ready.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we take a look at the consent agenda here tonight, and there's several items that will be up for consideration.
There are. Thanks, Brandon. Normally, one of the things that happens towards the beginning of the year is we start, if we have projects that need permanent financing, we start to work on those, and we have about 10 public improvement projects that are all subdivision related, mostly residential subdivision related, where all of the benefit districts are funding nearly 100% of the project. And so we start the process to issue those special assessment bonds and sell them publicly. Those rates have been extremely favorable throughout the last couple of years. We anticipate they'll continue to be favorable. It does give an opportunity for folks to pay those specials off prior to us bonding, if they so desire, before we add some additional fees on to cover that bonding aspect of things. And so that process, you'll be hearing more about that as we go through that particular bonding process and the different public elements that we need to hold as a result of that. We are asking the commission to move forward with something in our capital improvements program. This is we have 4 out of 5 booster pump stations in our water utility system that boosts the pressure as well as boosts the pumping. We have different levels, obviously, because of the terrain in Manhattan to fill the tanks and to keep the system charged. And 4 out of 5 of those booster pump stations need some work on them and some upgrades. And so that will help keep some of our pressure systems more evenly distributed, as well as we have some lines that ideally you want that pressurized line that we're using to fill those water towers to storage towers to be dedicated lines. But over the years, we've had to tap those to provide for distribution into the system as we've grown. So we're catching up with some of those aspects, but it's about a $2.7 million project that we anticipate. It's worked into our forecast for rates, we want the next step in the process would be to select a professional engineering consultant to help design those improvements, and we typically ask a commissioner to sit on that selection committee. So that's the specific item requested tonight, is to start that process. We also have some improvements to award, public improvements to award out in the Scenic Crossing. That's on West Anderson there, just to the west of Annenberg Park. You might recall that on the north side of Anderson, we've got some commercial development that's occurred on the west end of that development, and then some residential on the east end of that development. And then there's more mixed use and commercial in the middle. And so, but there's no infrastructure in the middle. The roads don't go through, and the other utilities don't connect either. And so this is the phase, this is that middle phase of Scenic Crossing that connects all that. So it we had very favorable bids for this project. The engineer's estimate was about $1.17 million, and the low bid came in from Buyer Construction at $712,897. So some good bids on that. Just about all of those costs are 100% to the benefit district there. We are awarding a waterline improvement that will help support redundancy and fire flows in that particular area as well, that's adjacent to this development. So That's within that allocation. We also are asking the commission to approve a city-state agreement with the Kansas Department of Transportation, where they'll maximum state participation. This is a Safe Route to Schools grant program for $238,444. The estimated cost is about $100,000 more than that, or $325,000. The city is responsible for 20% of the state portion, and then anything above that we cover 100%. Recall that in our 2/10 sales tax for street maintenance, we did have a portion of that reserved for improving safe routes to schools. So that's the funding component for this particular area. And this particular grant covers pedestrian improvements in the Marlette Elementary area, the Northview Elementary area, and the Theodore Roosevelt Elementary area, curb ramps and other sidewalk improvements on those routes. And then we are also asking the commission to confirm the strategic plan community project committee. So I mentioned that the commissioner is going to have a retreat at the end of the month to kind of kick off the strategic planning process. This committee is envisioned to work with the consultants for about five particular meetings. Again, those will all be on a hybrid process. But there's about 35 to 38 individuals that have been recommended on a cross-section of the community from a location standpoint, as well as residents that represent community groups. And so those individuals are ones that we want to serve as the sounding board for ongoing community input into this strategic planning process. And so we're looking at the commission. There were about 50. We had a period of time where we were soliciting folks to serve on that from December 11th through December 30th. We asked for interest. We had 56 folks that submitted an application, and there's a group of 35 here that could go up to about 38 that are being recommended.
All right. Yeah, lots to get through there this morning, or this evening, I guess, on the consent agenda. I want to go back to the Scenic Crossing project. Well, that it looks like it's just ready to have some commercial development over there by that convenience store. Any updates on any new construction that may occur out there after this these improvements get done with sanitary sewer?
So they're not dependent on these particular projects, but it'll certainly potentially benefit expansion in that area. Of course, the bronze project is scheduled to occur, and construction originally was not scheduled until later this year, originally by the company. Don't know for sure whether COVID will push that back any further or not. I don't know if that affected some of their other facilities that they're building around the country, but that's certainly one of them, as it's it can fit within the existing infrastructure on the west, but it would be very close to the street extensions, if you will, for this particular infill that's being bid. And then there's a car wash that's going in. So certainly as those other lots develop on either side of that, having these additional lots available and ready for construction certainly could, I would anticipate that the reason the developer is moving forward with this infrastructure is because they have interest in that particular area. So that's a good thing.
All right, very good. I know that we reported, I remember last year sometime, about another car wash going in over there in West Loop. Is that project any closer to coming to fruition?
I haven't seen a building permit. That would be the next step for that group. They got all the approvals they needed from a zoning perspective on the PUD amendment. I know on that particular one, but we haven't seen a schedule activity or an application that I'm aware of for that construction. There is the old Pizza Hut there is proposed to be converted to a Scooters drive-through coffee, and that is on the next planning board meeting for discussion.
Okay. Well, that'd be interesting. Obviously, there's a lot of good commercial space in that area. I know there's surveys going around here as far as business confidence here over the next few months, obviously coming back from COVID. what are you guys hearing from local merchants? Are they getting more confident here, especially with the vaccines coming out?
You know, the recovery task force has been meeting. Many are still struggling. Obviously, you know, one of the things I covered with our legislators was, and it was the top of the list, COVID-19 pandemic recovery. It'll still be very front and center for us this year. Certainly, certain types of businesses are struggling more so. If you look at, you know, our hotel and entertainment industry, there is some relief in this package that was recently approved by the federal government for some of those industries. I know the payroll protection program, I think, is now open to more of those businesses as well as nonprofits. And certainly other aspects that have targeted some of the entertainment industries that have been heavily hit, whether it's conferencing, lodging, movies, restaurants, all of those are continuing to struggle with consumer confidence of re-engaging. And so obviously, as the vaccines roll out, I think that will hopefully help that consumer confidence. You know, some businesses have been good to convert to an online platform, but it's certainly, I don't believe, replaced their business. You know, one of the things that really stuck out to me in our end of year sales tax report, which showed sales through October, you know, we track our tax increment financing sales separately. They were down 30% in our North TIF district for 2020. And I think that could be that. So if you think about the types of businesses that are in that TIF district, and that's with a grocery store in that district. So it could, you could argue that it's probably worse than that for a typical retailer. And so certainly some have done better than others. We've worked on different aspects with the platforms and some outdoor dining components. But getting that consumer confidence up to re-engage will take some time, but it's something we definitely need, and those businesses definitely need.
All right.
Yeah, that's the key point, because even there's two things that drive that consumer confidence. You know, one is, you know, government restrictions drove people away from some of those places. And when we lift the government restrictions, you know, hopefully around the April timeframe, the problem still is that, as you've said, the individual consumer has got to have the confidence to go there. And I've noticed that in some restaurants, you know, even though they've got, you know, restricted seating, there's not people waiting outside to get in. And so it's not really the case that, you know, you've limited the size of it. People do not feel confident going into the restaurants and the hospitality areas or the movie theaters. And so that's going to be the big challenge, is how do you get people to feel confident? And of course, the vaccine and the rollout of that is going to be the key ingredient to, I think, making that happen.
Yeah, probably so. Well, we're out of time here, so we got to run. But City Commission meets at 7 o'clock tonight. Again, a number of ways you can check that out, cityofmhk.com/TV, the Facebook page, and also Cox Cable Channel 3. And we appreciate you both being on here, Mr. Fear, Mr. Butler. We'll talk again next time.
Thank you, Brandon.
All right, that's going to wrap up our show for today. We'll have USD 3-3 guests on tomorrow, Eric Reed and Katrina Lewison, and then Kevin Ingram from Manhattan Christian College will join us as well.
All right, Brandon, coming up on the other side of CBS News this morning, we'll have Our American Stories, followed by the Rush Limbaugh Show, Dan Patrick, a little bit of the game, and then K-State Basketball at Oklahoma, Manhattan High Girls to follow. It's 10 o'clock.